Praise the Lord. I appreciate you coming back. Amen. Last night, some of you, I think, probably never heard me, and you came. Tonight, you come back. I guess it's your fault tonight, isn't it? But thank you for letting. I appreciate that, Pastor. I am so honored. I'll be honest with you. I'm so honored. I really don't have words to say that y'all would let me come and preach in this great meeting. Amen. Great men of God, they tell me have preached in this meeting. And I'm so honored that y'all would ask me to come and preach. Amen. And thoroughly enjoyed myself last night. Felt like I had liberty to preach. Amen. I'm not saying I preached good, but I had liberty to preach. And what a blessing. Amen. And man, I'll be honest with you. I'll just be honest with you. Not, it wasn't last night, but I'm telling you, the Lord's in this place tonight. At least I sense the Lord's here. Amen. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I think he was here last night too. Amen. But I'm glad sometimes I guess you feel it more than others. Amen. And I feel like the Lord's really in the service tonight. It was great singing. That was great singing. Touched my heart. Amen. I love singing. I really do. Amen. I'd like to sing a long time tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I guess I revert back to what I said last night. I really one time was preaching in a meeting, and I guess you would call it a rather large meeting. And I mentioned in that preaching service, I mentioned I'd got saved at a singing in a Pentecostal church. And a preacher friend of mine was sitting by this young preacher. And when I said that, and I don't promote that, but I'm just saying that's what happened. I went to a meeting, amen, it was a Pentecostal meeting, and I got saved. I can't help it if I got saved there. But when I said that, the young preacher slammed his Bible shut and said, I don't believe he's saved. Amen. But I declare I got saved. Amen. Amen. Now, not about called to preach. I don't know. I hope I'm called to preach right now. Amen. I'm so nervous. I may be during this message the Lord will call me. Amen. But it is a joy to be here. Amen. God is so good. You know, I really, really, I one time my pastor told me, I got saved, amen. I'll probably say a little bit about that later in the week, but I got saved and I wasn't, like I said, in a good environment, amen, to promote being secure about being saved. And, so I had some reservations, some doubts after I got saved, you know, about being saved. So anyway, I got all that settled and I went on and got in a good church and began to feel like the Lord was dealing with me about preaching. And I went to my pastor, and I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, how would you know if the Lord's called you to preach? He said, you'll know. And I said, is that all? He said, you'll know. And so I left, amen, and I went back, I guess, I don't know, several weeks later. I said, Pastor, how would you know if the Lord has really called you to preach? I'm serious now. How would you know? He said, you'll know. I said, is that all you got to say? He said, you'll know. So I left and I went back, I think about the third time, and I said, Pastor, how would I know if the Lord's calling me to preach? He said, Brother Alfred, let me tell you something. If the Lord ever calls you to preach, he'll make it as clear or clearer than your salvation. Amen. And you know, I thought back over that. I've never doubted I've been called. Now, I ain't telling you I can preach, but I've never been doubted. I've never doubted I've been called to preach. I have doubted my salvation, but I've never doubted God called me to preach. Amen. I think he makes it that real. Amen. And I'm glad tonight, thank God, I was joking about not knowing, amen. I've been a few places sometime and got up and wondered about it, but I never doubted it, amen. I've finished preaching a few times and wondered about it. Oh, Lord, help me, amen. Let's take our Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews, amen. You know, it's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful to be able to gather with God's people? I am telling you, there ain't nothing like it, amen. This beats a pool room, I'm telling you that, amen. Beats going down to the drag strip, amen. Nothing better than assembling with God's people. Amen. Let's stand tonight if you're physically able to stand. And we'll read here in Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's begin reading there in verse number 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. Man, I am telling you, I feel good tonight. Amen. I wish I could preach as good as I felt right now. Amen. All right, let's verse 32, amen. And what shall I more say, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts, in the mountains, in the dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God have provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I want to look back in verse number 35. The Bible said women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. I want to preach tonight on this simple thought, the faith of others. Amen. The faith of others. You don't have to turn there, but in the book of Daniel, a very familiar verse, it said, if so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, but if not, be it known unto the king that we will not serve thy gods. I believe in serving God there are deliverances that we enjoy. Amen. I think I could testify tonight just by way of introduction. The last 3 years of my life, I went through what, for me personally, probably wouldn't never affect you like it affected me, and yours has probably been greater. But the last 3 years of my life, I've been through the most darkest valley that I have faced since I've been saved in 42 years. And just recently, I got delivered. I praise God for delivering me. Had God, and my wife is here, had God not delivered me, I don't know that I'd be here tonight. But God delivered me. So God in our troubles and trials, God has a way of delivering us. He delivers us from trouble. He delivers us in trouble. And sometimes he does not deliver us. In our text tonight, it talks about another crowd. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourges, and they did not get delivered. So there is, in serving God, situations that come in our lives, trials or troubles that we do not get delivered from. Now, may I say Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter of faith. But in that chapter of faith is a group that God didn't deliver. So our way of thinking is this. If you got faith, you're going to get delivered. But here in the latter part of the chapter is a group that had faith that didn't get delivered. Amen and amen. May I say most of our preaching is in the first part of the chapter. We talk about Noah, we talk about Abraham, we talk about great men of God that had faith, and their faith delivered them. But in the latter part of the chapter, here's a great group too that didn't get delivered. Amen and amen. The first part of the chapter are well-known people. The latter part of the chapter are not known people. No names are given, amen. I say, in the first part of the chapter, Noah was building boats. Abraham was having babies at 100 years old. Moses was overcoming boundaries, and Joshua was bringing down walls. They were successful. We look at that crowd and say, that's a successful crowd. They've got faith, and they've wrought miracles. Amen. But in the latter part of the chapter, the group not even known. Amen. Second part of the chapter, they were scourged, stoned, sown, slain, walked about in sheepskins. No names are mentioned. But they're in Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. They're in the same chapter as the well-known crowd. The crowd that didn't go, oh Lord, help me. The crowd that didn't get delivered is in the same crowd of the chapter that did get delivered. Amen and amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, some look successful and some don't look successful. Some look like they got great faith and they do. Some look like they had no faith and they've got faith. Amen. Faith is to create relationship. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Faith creates a relationship. Faith creates reverence. Without faith, you can't please God. Faith creates resolve. When you got faith, you resolve to do what God wants you to do. But faith doesn't always create release. Amen and amen. How do you know? Well, y'all sitting here tonight, some of y'all sitting here tonight, you got faith and you don't have good health. Hey, in the crowd this side, there's people sitting in this assembly tonight that's got faith, just like the one that got healed. You have faith, but you hadn't got healed yet. We're probably preaching to somebody in this church tonight that's got cancer in your body, and you prayed, and you love God, and you serve God, but your faith hadn't delivered you. Amen. I think that point is right. I believe this point is right. There's people sitting in this crowd tonight, you got faith, and you love God, and you ain't wealthy. And if you didn't say amen on health, you can say amen on wealth. Amen and amen. Hey, that Joel Osteen mentality, somebody help me. Amen. Something good's going to happen to you. Something bad might happen to you, amen. Is anybody listening? I'm concerned about the fellow that went to the professor and said, Professor, I'm having a real problem with Jacob and Esau. He said, what's your problem, student? He said, well, I don't understand that God loved Jacob and hated Esau. Professor looked at the student and said, I'm having the same problem. He said, Professor, you got a problem with God loved Jacob and hated Esau? He said, I sure do. I ain't figured out why he loved Jacob. Right. Somebody help me. Hey, why does bad things happen to good people? I wonder why good things happen to bad people, amen. Somebody help me. Oh, help me. Hey, I'm saying you might be sitting here tonight and you love God and you're faithful, but your health is not the best and your wealth is not the best, amen. And your family hadn't turned out right. There's people sitting in this building tonight, no doubt in my mind. You love God. You have faith. You serve God, but your children ain't saved. Amen. May I be real honest? If your children turn out right, I wouldn't write a book on it. I know people who wrote books on how to raise children, and after they wrote the book, their children went bad. Hey, if your children turn out right, just throw your hands in the air and say it was all God and none of me. Amen and amen. Well, I preach across this country to some of the best men I know, and their children not in church. Amen and amen. By the way, God had one son, Adam, put him in a perfect environment. He messed up. Help me, help me. I'm simply saying, hey, we have faith, but our health is not the best. Our wealth is not the best. Our family hadn't turned out like it ought to turn out. Hey, you got faith and you don't have a prospering ministry, as the world would call it. Amen. Their ministry didn't look too prosperous. Hey, they didn't escape their trials. Amen and amen. By way of introduction, let me say this. Hey, you've got faith. Preacher, I've been trying to be faithful. I've tried to serve God, but I've seen no deliverance. I want to give you about 3 or 4 points. Number one, remember this. God's not doing you wrong. Hey, if you love God, serve God, had no deliverance, God is not doing you wrong. Some get delivered and some don't get delivered. Hey, I think about Peter in jail. The church got together praying for Peter in jail. They just killed James. James was known as Camel Knee James. He prayed so much, he had calluses on his knees. They called him Camel Knee James. He got killed. Peter's in jail. If you ever talk about a big mouth, putting your foot in your mouth, it was Peter. God let him kill James, but delivered Peter. Hey, Peter got delivered, James didn't. Hey, James is dead and Peter's out of jail. Amen. Can't you hear him at the funeral? I can hear James and Sam at the funeral. Wonder why he let my husband, wonder why he let my daddy die, but he let Peter get out of jail. Y'all please help me. Amen. I'm just simply saying God is not doing us wrong when he does not deliver us. Amen. It would be easy to think, I'm being done wrong. Paul could think, I'm being done wrong. I've given my life, my soul, my body to serve God, and my health is bad. Amen. Hey, God knows what we need. Hello. Hey, Paul, hey, I read over there in 2 Corinthians. Paul said, lest I be exalted. I've received the abundance of revelations. I've had visions. He said, lest I be exalted. God, let a thorn be my friend. God knows whether we need to get delivered or don't need to get delivered. Yeah, amen and amen. Hey, by the way, Peter did die. Number one, get this, if you're not delivered. Hello. Had a preacher friend of mine call me. He was in the same identical situation that I got delivered from. He's still going through it. And I got delivered. He is in the identical situation that I was in, and he hadn't got delivered yet. He's much more a man of God. He's much more loves God than I do. I'm telling you, sometimes God will deliver you and sometimes God won't deliver you. I don't care how much faith you got. That is not our normal preaching. Our normal preaching is have faith in God. He will deliver you, and thank God he does. But sometimes he chooses not to. Amen and amen. Can I remind you of point number two? Both groups lived at the same time. The delivered group and the undelivered group. I would call that group A and I would call that group B. Group A is always getting delivered. Group B is never getting delivered. My wife sat on the wrong side tonight. Should be sitting over here. There's a successful crowd and there's a crowd that don't look too successful. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm telling you, group A, no matter what they touch, it turns to gold. Group B, everything we do turns out wrong. Y'all help me, church, help me. Hey, the woman down at Zarephath, Elijah went down to Zarephath, and the son died, and God raised that boy from the dead through the prophet Elijah, and that woman was happy that her son got delivered from the dead. But I'm sure the same time that woman at Zarephath was getting her son delivered, there was children that was not getting delivered. Matter of fact, I read where they were bawling their children to eat them. Amen. Went down to the Shulamite woman. The Shulamite woman's son died. Elisha restored that boy back to death. Amen. He got delivered. But at the same time, there were children who were dying. Amen. What are you trying to say? My point is, hey, group A, when y'all get delivered, don't get pride. Hey, when you don't get delivered, don't start pouting. Amen and amen. Hey, if you aren't careful, group A is always turning out. Everything's turning up roses. Amen. They'll get arrogant and cocky. Amen. Group B gets mad and jealous. Group B gets bitter. And group A gets boastful. Group A gets inflated. Group B gets aggravated. Amen and amen. Hey, group A has got a prospering church. Their ministry is flourishing. Group B looks at them and says, they've got to be compromising. If they was holding the standard I was holding, their church wouldn't be growing like that. And group A looks over at group B and says, they don't know how to do it. If they would come to one of our conferences, we show them how they can build a prospering church. Amen. Hey, group B, and they get mad at group A because they're flourishing. And group A looks at group B and judges them because they're not doing what they think they ought to do. Somebody help me! I'm telling you, both groups were living at the same time. And we still got them groups living, A and B. Hey, they get, group B gets mad at group A. Group A thinks they're better than group B. What kind of little church you got out in the country? Why, group A says, if I could get that church, no matter where you are, I could build it to be flourishing. Or go on and pastor your big church. My town ain't got this many people in it. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Well, let me put it this way. My town ain't got this many white people in it, bro. Town of I am, all of us is black. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you listening? They come to our church. I got a black family in my church now. I'm telling you, they're on fire for God. They said, preacher, I'm telling you, I believe you got part of us in you. I said, I want to check your genes. Amen. Hallelujah, I'm glad I got soul, amen. I got a saved soul, amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I do feel like James Brown. I feel good, amen. Hallelujah, I'm feeling a whole lot better than I used to feel, amen. Yeah, man. Hey, I'm just simply saying, Paul says we're not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. Hey, it takes more faith to endure than it does to escape. Hey, anybody can shout the victory when you escape it. Hey, what you gonna do when you can't escape? You gotta endure it, amen. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, don't compare ourselves among ourselves. Measure is normally done by externals anyway. Amen. What we do, what we don't do. We normally judge ourselves by our standards. Normally starts with high standards to set the standard. If you don't come up to my standard, you're not spiritual. Amen and amen. And I'm for standards, amen. But I am telling you, standards ain't going to make you spiritual.
That's right.
Amen. Rules without a relationship create rebellion.
Right.
Amen and amen. I'm simply saying we judge ourselves by standards. We judge ourselves by size.
Right.
Hey, Group A's got a flourishing big church. Group A's got a little church. And we consider ourselves better because we're bigger. But bigger ain't always better. Because I passed a dare by the side of the road, dead. I come back 2 days later, he's bigger. But he wasn't growing. He was dead. So for order him to get bigger, he had to be swelling. So some churches swell, amen. It's not growth, it's swelling. Off a little B, Group B church, your church is swelling. Oh, y'all help me, amen. I'm simply saying to us tonight, it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. God is more interested in what you are than what you accomplish. Hallelujah. God wants your character to be more than what you accomplish. Amen. Amen and amen. How do you compare yourselves among yourselves? True measurement of ministry is, am I where God wants me to be? Hey, I'm convinced of this. God has got me in a little small town that you've got to go out of the way to get to. But I'm telling you, I'm where God wants me, and therefore I am protected.
Amen,
amen and amen. Hey, number two, is God glorified by what you're doing? I tell you, the test of our ministry, am I where God wants me to be, and is God glorified with what I'm doing? I think we're more success-oriented than we are commitment-oriented. Amen and amen. Maybe we're more interested in ambition than we are in a vision. Hallelujah. Hey, number three, can God commend the work that I'm doing? I read where Spurgeon said, he looked back over his ministry and he said, this is what I want my ministry to be. Godly leadership, biblical goals, outreach, concern for each other, and biblical teaching and preaching, and worship. Am I doing what God wants me to do where God has got me? Amen. Amen and amen. Hey, different places have different strengths and different weaknesses.
Right.
I have a man in my church. This is honestly God truth. We were out there in a little town out of nowhere. A man went out of our church and went to Papua New Guinea. And preached in Papua New Guinea. Where he went in Papua New Guinea, hey, there'd never been a Baptist church since time began. West New Britain. He went to an island off of Papua New Guinea and went into a town and started preaching. That never had a Baptist church since time began. He started preaching in that village. And people started coming, filled his house up, filled his yard up, built a lean-to, filled the lean-to up. Men started being called to preach. They sent men all over those islands. Some 30 churches got established out of that one church. We brought the pastor to our church. His name is Samuel Sakarupa. I was eating dinner with Samuel Sakarupa. He was eating my chicken sitting at my table. I looked across the table at Samuel Sakarupa. I mean, a preaching machine. I said, Pastor Samuel, I said, if you would get all those churches together on a Sunday that come out of Life Baptist Church and that you pastor, how many people you think would be in church on Sunday? He said, well, Pastor Willis, we'd probably have over 3,000 people. I said, Pastor Samuel, we support y'all. He said, yes, sir, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. I said, Brother Samuel, we run about 90 to 100 on a good Sunday. He said, yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. I said, and we supporting y'all running 3,000.
Amen.
I said, Pastor Samuel, you ever thought about supporting us? He went back to eating my chicken. Amen.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell you tonight, there's different places and different places. Hey, have different ministries. Hey, you can go to Papua New Guinea and preach and they'll get saved by the growth. Go to St. Stephen and preach and they'll run from you.
Right.
Yeah, man. Is anybody listening?
Yeah.
I simply say to us tonight, hey, different people, hey, some people are big, some people are little. Brother Daniel sitting down here in the front, when I stand behind him, by him, I feel dwarfed. I look up to him, he thinks he's hugging me. Why? I'm trying to catch breath. Somebody help me. But he's a big old fella and I'm a little fella, but far as I know, we're both healthy. Hey, that could be a big healthy church and a little healthy church. Are you listening to me, church? Some people get delivered. Hey, crowd A, y'all don't look down on crowd B. Crowd B, y'all, hey, y'all don't get mad at crowd A because they're bigger than y'all. Amen and amen. I want to say this. Number three, not many, more probably in group B than group A. There was probably more in the group not getting delivered than there was in the group getting delivered. Are you listening to me, church? Not many were building boats like Noah. Not many were having babies at 100. I guarantee you that. Amen. Not many was opening seas like Moses. Not many were bringing down walls like Joshua. Not many was being delivered from the lion's den like Daniel. Amen. Matter of fact, they come to me reading the Bible in Proverbs why Daniel got delivered. The Bible said the righteous are bold as a lion. Them lions thought Daniel was a lion. Hello. Here's my thought. Group B is unknown. You know what I've come to be convinced? Multitudes we've never heard of. When we get at the judgment seat of Christ, they'll be so far ahead of us, we won't even know, we won't even be able to see them. Hey, there's preachers letting look back mountain parts of the mountains and down in the valleys and out of the day. Hey, we've never heard of that stood for God and preached the gospel, amen. And they go stand at the judgment and get rewarded just like the big church. Yeah, man, I'm not against big churches. I want one. Why are you listening? People get delivered, people don't get delivered. Both of them have faith. Hey, Fox Book of Martyrs, amen, read that. Read about how they didn't get delivered. Hey, read your Bible about how they didn't get delivered. Amen and amen. Hey, think about Jonathan Nixon, a godly, hey, separated, loves God. Man, wife got cancer, passed in a church. Think about him. His wife got cancer. We prayed and prayed and prayed that his wife would get healed. She died. It wasn't because he didn't have faith. Are you listening to me? Hey, think about Rick Humphries, the man out of our church, pastor of the church. Down in Charleston, called out of our church, pastor of the church, got cancer. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. God help Brother Rick. God touch Brother Rick. God didn't deliver him. He had faith. Think about Mark Stewart, missionary we support. Could I go on? We us preachers could go on all night. Mark Stewart, love God, call, go to the mission field. Hey, he's a director on the mission field. His wife got cancer. Hey, they prayed and we prayed. Deliver her. He didn't. She died. Are you listening to me, church? Some got delivered and some didn't get delivered. And both of them had faith. Amen. Amen. Think about a lady connected to our church. She had divorced and she had divorced her husband. Her mama got sick. Her mama died. Her and her husband got back together and got remarried. Hallelujah. He got sick and he died. She lost her mother and her husband in a matter of a couple of months. Loves God, lives for God, serves God. Some get delivered, some don't get delivered. Amen and amen. I'm telling you, we're living in a day that if you listen to people preach, you'll think, hey, I read while I was studying for that, I read about a woman in the hospital with a disease that she was going to die with. A man come in, laid a book on the table, and after he left, her pastor walked in, picked up the book, and she was crying. She had read the book. He picked up the book. He said, what have you been reading? It said, if you are right with God, you'll get healed of your disease. I'm simply saying, hey, some get delivered, some don't. That's my message. I know I'm saying it over and over. Hey, there's a crowd in Hebrews chapter 11 that did not get delivered, and they're in the same chapter. Amen. God's not doing you wrong. God does right all the time. Hey, don't get bitter at the crowd that does get delivered. Hey, man, don't think you better because you got delivered. Yeah, man. Maybe there's been problems in your family and it didn't get back together. And there's been problems in Group B's family that it did not get back together. Don't think you better than they are. Yeah, man, and amen. I've been pastoring a little while. And I have found this to be true. Group B will get jealous of Group A. And Group A will think they know how to do it and Group B don't. Is this camp meeting? How about Pastor Hummel, a dear friend of mine, pastor of the church for about 20 years. Pastor Hummel, pastor of the church, a godly man, separated man, loves God, amen, pastor of the church, walked into a deacon's meeting on a Tuesday night, and they looked at him and said, hand us the keys. He said, preacher, I didn't even know. I did not even know. I stepped on a Tuesday night to the deacon's meeting, and they said, give us the keys. He said, what for, brethren? They said, we're dismissing you. Are you listening? Deacons dismissed a man from his church. Are you listening? I'm just simply saying some get delivered and don't. Amen and amen. Hey, notice this. It can go both ways. You can be up today and down tomorrow. Hey, Job one day was on the mountaintop getting delivered, but the next day he was in the valley. I tell you, can't get delivered. Lazarus is in the grave one day, and a few hours, he was above the grave, and it wasn't his faith. He was dead. Anybody listening? I'm telling you, it can turn around. Yeah, man. Just Group A, y'all don't get too cocky. You could be where Group E is tomorrow. And Group B, y'all don't get too sad, because before the sun comes up in the morning, you can be in Group A crowd. Hallelujah.
That's good,
amen and amen. Thank God the other day, Brother Daniel, the other day, I had that situation I was going through. And I'm telling you, before God, I'm not building this up, and my trial probably not near as bad as some of what y'all, I know that's true about some of you. But I'm telling you, had I not got delivered, and had it went the other way, I'm not sure I'd be here tonight. But God, out of His sovereign mercy, Brother Jeff, chose to deliver me. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that God chose to deliver me. Woo! I've been delivered. Me and my wife are riding down the road in one accord. Amen. We drive a Honda. Amen. Thank God. I've been delivered. I wish I knew a song about that. Amen. I've been delivered. Amen. Somebody write a song on I've been delivered. There is a song. There is a song about it. I can't think of it, but I won't do it. Praise God. Just remember, it can change. Hey, Group B, y'all hold on. Hallelujah. Hey, I was preaching down in Tennessee, and the pastor said, I want to take you over to Powell, Tennessee tomorrow, and I want to show you around, Dr. Clarence Sexton's church. I said, well, that'd be wonderful. So we went over there. I walked in that big monstrosity of a building, but in the foyer got my attention more than anything else. On the wall in the foyer had a plaque. Jonathan Edwards preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And under that it wrote, voted out of his church. A few years later. The greatest message ever preached to many of us. And a few years, he got voted out of his church. I'm telling you, Group A, it can change in a night. Hey, Group B, it can get turned around in a night.
Amen.
Are you listening? I'm just simply saying to us tonight, I was preaching over in Tennessee again, and I was preaching about, hey, just stay in there, stay faithful. Group B, Group A, Group B, just stay faithful. God can turn it around. And I was reading in a book in a doctor's office one day. I don't know if it's true. I don't know nothing about bulldogs, but I know what I read in the book. And this is what it said about a bulldog. I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm sure going to preach it because I read it in a book. It said a bulldog's nose is pushed back up in his head so when he bites you, he can still breathe. And when I read that, that's what I thought of. I used to hang around with a boy named Jerry Rees when I was growing up, and he had a bulldog. And I looked out there in the pasture one day, and that bulldog had a cow by the throat. And that cow was running all over that pasture. And that bulldog, he's hanging on. We had to go out there with a piece of 2x4 and beat that bulldog off. I preached that up in the hills of Tennessee. A preacher come to church the next night. He said, "Preacher, I ain't gonna believe you told that story last night." I said, "Well, this is the honest to God truth, Pastor." He said, "I ain't believing you told that story last night about that bulldog." I said, "Why?" He said, "When I walked out to come to church tonight, over my front porch, I looked over the pasture and a dog had a cow by the throat. And he said, that cow was running all over the field and that dog holding on." I said, "You know why he was holding on?" He said, "Why?" I said, "Cause he can still breathe." Ah. Hey, I just say, group B, grab hold, hold on, amen. Hey, joy, hey, come in the morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? Do you know the worst storm that has ever hit planet Earth? Listen to me now. There's been storms and storms, but there ain't never been a storm like the flood. The flood destroyed the whole world. But when Noah landed, he landed on a mountain. The worst storm that's ever hit planet Earth landed a mountain, man on a mountain. And it was called Iraq. Holy ground. The worst storm you might be going through right now may be eventually going to land you on a mountain. Hallelujah. I got delivered, Mama. I don't know what's down the road. I'm telling you, we just come through that one. In the sovereign mercy of God, He chose to deliver us. It wasn't because I had great faith. I'm telling you, it wasn't because of my faith. But God, in His sovereign mercy, chose to deliver us. Hallelujah. Amen. This message, I preached this message before, but I ain't never preached it since I got delivered. I feel about drunk, I'm telling you. God chose to deliver us. And I'm telling you, I'm repeating myself, but let me enjoy it while I can. Had it not got delivered, I could well not have been here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying, life is too short to throw in the towel. Jesus went through a whole lot more for us than we'll ever go through for Him. Amen and amen. Hey, it looked like He wasn't getting delivered. Oh, help me, Jesus. It looked like He wasn't getting delivered. It looked like it was all over for the Son of God. But thank God in 3 days, up from the grave, He arose. Amen. Hey, life's too short for us not. You know what? I read that verse over there in James and said, "What is your life? It's like a vapor." And I always preach on your life is temporal. And it is vapor's temporal. But I tell you what, vapor's transformed. Vapor was once water. But now it's been transformed. Our life is like a vapor. Our life is what? Our life is temporal, amen. But our life can be transformed. Hallelujah. Hey, vapor was once water. But now it's a gas. You know what I found out about vapor? Vapor seeks higher things. Water seeks lower levels. Hey, water seeks earthly things. Vapor seeks heavenly things. Thank God my life got transformed. Amen. Hey, water makes mud puddles. Vapor makes clouds. Hey, I ain't never seen nobody look down at a mud puddle and say, "That's a pretty mud puddle." I've heard a lot of people ride down the road and say, "Look at them beautiful clouds. Them clouds was once a mud puddle." Amen. But some changed them. Guess what it was? It was the sun.
Amen.
Hey, my life was a dirty mud puddle, amen. But God transformed my life and put me in the heavenly realm. I ain't seeking things down here no more. I'm a pilgrim passing through. My home is laid up beyond the blue.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I got transformed. Amen.
Glory.
Back in my drinking days, they told me you ought to reform. Something happened better than reformation. I got regeneration. I got regened. Amen. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, you better do good if you want to get a good report card. He said they got a good report. I want to get a good report card. I never did get none in school. Are you listening? Think about the only thing God let me pass in school was reading. Because he in his sovereign grace knew one day I'd be a preacher. And I'd have to read. And I keep saying sovereign, don't let that bother you. I believe in a whosoever will.
Amen.
I don't necessarily believe whensoever, but I believe whosoever. You get saved when God deals with you. Well, I feel like preaching. I ain't got nothing else to preach over. That God, y'all kill a fella up here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, are you delivered tonight?
Amen.
You delivered. Don't get cocky.
That's right.
Don't get arrogant. Don't get prideful. If you're not delivered, don't get bitter. Amen. Because the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from our eyes. And that's all I know. Hallelujah. Hey, God loves us, don't he?
Amen.
Delivered, undelivered, he still loves us. Let's stand, let's pray.